Pat Hallahan's affinity-bonded harpy eagle, Octon, was skimming the treetops, retinal implants alert for the slightest motion below the fluttering leaves. The animals provided a coverage almost as good as the aerovets. The team was following a danderil track, heading roughly northeast towards its operational target, the Qualheim counties. Sal Yong was leading, brushing through the dense vines with barely a sound. With his chameleon circuit activated, it looked as though a heavy miniature breeze was whirling along the track. The other six followed quickly. Theo was up overhead somewhere, all of them loaded down with packs, even Kelly. He was pleased to see she was keeping up. If she didn't, it would mean a maser pulse through her brain which would upset some of the team. But he wasn't having a liability over a reporter holding them back. He wondered if she realized that, if it lent a note of urgency to her steps. Probably. She was smart enough, and her bureau chief would certainly have known the deal. So would Joshua, for all his youth, wise beyond his years. Fenton arrived at a river and peered out of the bushes lining the steep bank. Reza requested a chart from his inertial guidance block and confirmed their position. "Pat, there's a river 180 meters ahead. It leads into the Qualheim eventually. Send Octon along to check for any boat traffic." "Right." The voice seemed to emerge from a small qualtook tree. "Are we going to use it?" Ariadne asked, a clump of knotted tinnus vines. "Yes, providing Octon says nobody else is. It's narrow enough, good tree cover. We can cut a day off our time." He called silently to his hounds and ordered them to cut back behind the team covering their rear. They reached the river 3 minutes later and stood at the top of the 4-meter bank. "What is that stuff?" Jalal asked. The water was clotted with free-floating, fleshy leaves, pure white discs a couple of meters in diameter, a tiny purple star in their center. Each had an upturned rim of a few centimeters, natural coracles. They bobbed and spun and sailed calmly along with the current, undulating with a swell. Some overlapped, some collided and rebounded, but they all kept moving along. Upstream or downstream, whichever way the team looked, the river was smothered in them. Kelly smiled inside her shell helmet as the daylight dream of her Lalonde didactic course came slithering into her conscious thoughts. "They're snow lilies," she said. "Quite something, aren't they? Apparently they all bloom at the same time, then drift downstream to drop their canal. It really screws up the Julif Basin for boat traffic when they're in season." She tracked her retinal implants along the river. It was all going into a neural mnemonics memory cell, scenes of Lalonde. Capturing the substance of a place was always important to give the report that little edge, adding to reality. "They're a bloody nuisance," Reza said curtly. "So old Jalal, activate the hovercraft. Pat, Ariadne, point guard." The two combat adepts unslung the big packs they were carrying and took out the programmed silicone craft, cylinders 60 centimeters long, 15 wide. They slithered down the bank to the water's edge. Kelly focused on the sky downstream. At full magnification, the northern horizon was stained a pale red. "It's close," she said. "An hour away," Reza said. "Maybe two. This river winds a crooked course." Sewell shoved a couple of snow lilies aside and dropped his cylinder into the clear patch of water. The hovercraft began to take shape, its gossamer-thin silicone membrane unfolding in a strict sequence, following the pattern built into its molecules. A flat, boat-shaped hull was activated first, 5 meters long, 15 centimeters thick. Water was pumped into its honeycomb structure, ballast to prevent it from blowing away. The gunwale started to rise up. Theo Connell dropped lightly to the ground beside Kelly. She gave a slight start as he turned off his chameleon circuit. "Anything interesting?" Reza asked. "The cloud is still shifting about, but it's slower now." "Figures, the space planes have gone. All the birds are flying away from it." "Don't blame them," Pat said. Kelly's communication block reported that a signal was being beamed down from the geostationary satellites, coded for their team. It was a very powerful broadcast, completely non-directional.